Last week's parasha is parasha Shemois. These weeks, I mean, this week's parasha is where the shibud in Mitzrayim begins, the exile of Mitzrayim begins, and we know from the Arizal that these parshias that we read about, the exile and the liberation from Mitzrayim, these weeks are a opportune time for a Yid to do tshuva, for every Yid to come out of their own personal Mitzrayim. And there's really so much, there's so much to focus on that we tend to get lost into knowing, you know, which aspect of our lives we're supposed to focus on during these weeks in order to do to at least accomplish tshuva in some area in our life. So I'd like to suggest one area that we should be focusing on during these weeks that we talk about Shibud Mitzrayim. We find in this week's parasha that Paroi made a decree in his attempt to quash the tremendous growth of Bnei Yisrael. He made a decree, Kol haben hayiloid hayo'ida tashlichuhu, that every son, every boy that is born, should be thrown into the Nile River. His decree was not just to throw the child to drown the child in any water, but specifically to throw the child into the Nile River. So we need to understand what was the unique wisdom in Paro's decree, and why specifically did he want them to drown in the Nile River? And more importantly, we know the Torah is not a history book. The Torah, in every word of the Torah, is here to teach us a lesson. There's a message in every word of the Torah for every Yid in every generation. So, how is this decree relevant to us in our days? Later on in the parsha, at the burning bush, when Hashem tells Moshe to go and liberate Bnei Yisrael, and there's a dialogue between Moshe and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and Moshe says to Hashem, I'm going to come to Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to tell them that Hashem appeared to me, they're not going to believe me. So Hashem gives Moshe three signs to demonstrate in front of Bnei Yisrael, and these three signs will impress upon them that indeed Hashem is taking them out of Mitzrayim. What are the three signs? Sign number one is Hashem says to Moshe, take the staff that you have in your hand and throw it down to the ground, and it will become a snake. That is, that's sign number one. Sign number two is take your hand and put it into your bosom, and when Moshe's hand emerged, it was mitzaras, it was full of leprosy, it was basically dry skin, it was as white as snow. And then Hashem says to him, if they don't believe the first two signs, then I'm going to give you a third sign. And that is, take water from the Nile, from the Yair, and pour it onto the ground, and it will become blood. So, we need to understand why, out of all signs, did Hashem choose these specific signs to show Bnei Yisrael? I mean, there's a myriad of different signs that Hashem could have shown Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem chose specifically these three signs. And we need to understand what is the symbolism of these three signs that is going to impress upon Bnei Yisrael that the time has come for them to leave Mitzrayim. So I'd like to suggest that the wisdom of Pare's decree of Kol Ben Hagiloy Da Yoreh Tashlichu was that the Yor, the Nile, represents the Parnosa of Mitzrayim. That was the livelihood of Mitzrayim. The Nile irrigated the entire land. That's what it means when we find in Chazal that Mitzrayim worshipped the Nile. It doesn't necessarily mean that they actually bowed down to the Nile. What it means was that was they believed that that was their source of Parnassah. The Nile was the one that irrigated the entire land. So that was, and they trusted in the source of their, what they thought was the source of their panasa, that's considered worshipping the Nile. And the same applies to any time a person places his trust in whatever they think is the source of their panasa and not in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Basically what they're doing is worshipping the whatever they're trusting in. Well, that's what the Nile represents. The Nile represents the main source of income in Mitzrayim. Parah's decree was to get B'nai Yisrael so involved in work, so involved in their parnassas, that they would neglect their responsibilities to their children. The entire future of B'nai Yisrael is our children. So Paro is in his immense wisdom, he knew that if he would be able to get B'nai Yisrael so involved in their parnosa, to the point that they're so consumed by it that they will neglect their children. They won't give their children the time that their children need, the attention that they need. Automatically, the children will drift away from the ways of their parents. In essence, what Paray was saying was, I want you to drown the children in their parents' parnasah. I want you to throw him into the oyer, meaning I want the children to drown in their fathers, in their parents' parnasahs. That's how involved their parents should be in their work, in their parnasah. Unfortunately, we are reliving Mitzrayim nowadays. People are so involved in their parnassas that the children become, just relationships in general, become secondary. Whether it's the relationship we have with our children or with our spouses or with our rebbeim, with our friends, everything becomes secondary because we're so busy worshipping the Or, that everything else is drowned in that Yor. And we need to know that our children are begging for attention. They're begging for acknowledgement. That we should spend some time with them. Whether it's learning with them, whether it's listening to them, whether it's having some just quality time with them. That connection from one generation to the next is essential for the continuity of Klal Yisrael. And the Satan is working overtime. And the Gezerah that we have nowadays, the same Gezerah Parah made back then. Every child that is born, drown him in the Yor. Drown him in their parents' parnas. That was Shibud Mitzrayim. So, when the Rabbi Shalom told Moshe to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe said, they're not going to listen to me. They're so consumed with their parnas. They're not going to listen to me. So the Rabbi Shalom says to Moshe, here are three signs that I'm going to show Bnei Yisrael. In order to understand these three signs, we need to try to understand the mentality of people. Why is it that when it comes to our parnasa, why is it that we get so involved? Why is it that we feel that we need to go we need to put in every effort possible to make a parnasa? And yet, when it comes to ruchnias, when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to Torah learning or to any other area of Avodas Hashem, it doesn't seem that we feel that same obligation to put in every last effort that we have. In reality, it should be exactly the opposite. In Ruchnias, we're obligated to put in every... In spirituality, in Avodas Hashem, we're obligated to put in every last effort. Because that's really up to us. Parnasa, the Rabbi Nishleidam sends us Parnasa. All we need to do is just do a minimal effort to do a shtadlis, to create a keli, to create a vessel for Hashem to pour in parnasa. So why is it that we do that? That everybody has it the other way around? Why is it we put in all the efforts in gashmias and ruchnias? We do it the minimal shtadlis. We put in the minimal effort, and I think the answer is pashut. In gashmias, we get to see the results. We get to see actually when we put in effort, we actually see the fruit, and we mistakenly think that the fruit that our efforts bear are actually the product of our efforts, where in reality it's just the Rabbeinu Shlom giving it to us. And you would have done the same. We would have gotten the same amount of parnasa had we done less effort as well. But nevertheless, we do see the fruit of our labor. In Ruchnias, we don't necessarily see the fruit of our labor. Quite the contrary. Sometimes we daven and we daven and we daven, and we don't see that our tefillas are answered. It happens to be that the reward for all of our actions is in the world to come. We don't see the fruit of our labor. So that's why, naturally, people will put in effort in the place where they actually get to see, where they actually see consequences, where people see results. Whereas in Ruchnias, we don't necessarily see results. Now, the first one that suggested that our spiritual actions don't really make a difference. The first one to suggest that was actually the Nochash. By the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, when the Nochash asked Chava, why don't you eat from the Eitz Hadas? And Chava said, because the day that I eat from it, Hashem said, I'll die. The Nochash said, come on, nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing happens to you when you do an Avera. You won't see any results. That's the Nochash was the one that introduced that. And we And that we still hear those words, the words of the Nachash, until this very day. We don't believe that anything will happen if we transgress Hashem's will, or if we obey Hashem's will. In reality, every Yid is holding on to a Mate Elikim. Every Yid is holding on to a godly staff. We have a godly wand in our hand. Everything that we do accomplishes tremendous things in all of the world. We don't get to see it, but we believe it. And we need to believe it. Every mitzvah that we do, every tefillah that we say, every little bit of Torah that we learn accomplishes godly things. It accomplishes tremendous things. Each and every Yid is the bearer of a Mate Elikim, a godly staff. As soon as we drop that staff, though, as soon as we don't believe in that we're holding on to the godly staff, it transforms into the Nachash. It transforms into the Nachash that says, "Yeah, whatever you do is not going to make a difference." That's the first sign, the Shol B'nei Yisrael, that their spiritual actions actually make a difference. The second sign is, take your hand. Now the hand represents our efforts. The efforts that we put into our parnosas, the efforts that we put into all matters of materialism. How do we know that we're supposed to do ishtadlus when it comes to matters of gashmias? Because there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Uverachecha Hashem alekecha b'chol maaseh yadecha." The pasuk says, "Hashem will bless you in all of your handiwork." So we see from here that in order for Hashem to bless us, there needs to be handiwork. We need to do something with our hands. But we need to know at the same time that it's not what we do with our hands that brings us the parnosa. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam giving us parnosa. All we're creating with our hands is a keli. We're creating a vessel for Hashem to be able to pour His blessing into it. So Hashem told Moshe, take your hand, which represents human effort, and put it into your bosom. And when it comes out, it's dead skin. To show Klal Yisrael that our handiwork is dead skin. It's nothing. We don't accomplish anything with our handiwork. That's not where our parnasa comes from. So the first sign is to show them how much our spiritual actions accomplish, because each and every one of us is the bearer of a godly staff. And the second sign is to show them how for naught is our physical actions. And then Hashem says to Moshe, if they don't listen to the first two signs, then you're going to have to get graphic. And you're going to have to come out much stronger. You're going to have to take the water of the oil, which is their parnasa, and you're going to have to pour it on the ground, and it's going to turn to blood. You need to show them that the water that they're drinking is their own children's blood. Is that they're drowning their children in their parnosis. Our avoda during these days of Shoivavim, during these days that we read about Shibud Mitzrayim, is to focus on how we are in the same Shibud Mitzrayim. And how we need to focus on how we are going to free ourselves so that the water that we drink will not be our own children's blood. We have to take to heart that our spiritual actions, that each and every one of us is the bearer of a Mate Elikim, and that our spiritual actions accomplish tremendous things. and that our physical actions are dry skin, dead skin. Let us not allow Parai or the Nachash to be successful. And the zchus of taking these signs of the Rebbeinu Shlom to heart, we should be zoiche, just like the Rebbeinu Shlom took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, out of that golos, when they took these signs to heart, may the Rebbeinu Shlom take us out of this golos as well, because we will take these signs to heart and realize the godly powers that we have. May we be zoiche b'korev, kimeitzei seno miyaret Mitzrayim, Yarenu niflois, bevias Mashiach, tzedkenu b'meheru b'meheru.